Forced assimilation. Operation Vistula began at the end of April 1947 and continued through to the late summer. Its intention was not only to destroy, quote-unquote, to destroy the UPA bands, but to work with the State Office of Repatriation to conduct an, quote, an evacuation of all persons of Ukrainian nationality from the region to the Northwestern Territories, resettling them there with a dispersion as sparse as possible, unquote. Historians who claim that the only purpose of the operation was to remove support from the UPA are ignoring these clear statements issued by the Office of State Security itself, declaring ethnic cleansing of the country as an overt and separate objective. The operation was intended to root out all the remaining Ukrainian speakers in the country to the last man, woman, and child, and was to include even mixed Polish-Ukrainian families. These people were to be given a few hours to pack their things and then taken to transit hubs to be registered. From here, they were to be transported to diverse locations throughout the areas in the west and north that had once been German, but which were now part of Polish territory. In theory, families were to be transported together. But in practice, all deportees were given a number and were displaced along with those who registered at the same time. In this way, family members who registered separately were often sent to villages and towns miles apart, unless they could convince or bribe officials to let them stay together. Families were also supposed to be allowed to take clothes and valuables with them, and even a certain amount of livestock, in order to sustain themselves in their new homes. In reality, they were rarely given enough time to pack properly, and were often forced to abandon important items at home to be looted by their Polish neighbors. Many also complain of being robbed by unscrupulous guards or gangs of local people during their journey. There was nothing especially unique about the rounding up of entire villages and their displacement to another part of the continent. The war had made this practice commonplace. And by 1947, the specific displacement of Ukrainians had already been going on for more than 2 years. Nor was the scale of it unique. Indeed, it was a relatively minor event compared to the continent-wide expulsion of Germans that I shall describe in the next chapter. What made this particular displacement different from all the others was its purpose. The Polish authorities did not merely want to eject this ethnic group, but to compel it to give up all claims to a separate nationality. They were to be forced to change the way they spoke, the way they dressed, the way they worshipped, and the way they were educated. The authorities would no longer allow them to be Ukrainians or Lemkos, quote, because they wanted us all to become Poles, unquote. The whole process was deeply distressing, as interviews with Ukrainian-speaking Poles in recent times clearly show. For Anna Klimas and Rosalia Nadzuk, Lemkos who were deported from their village of Bednarka in Galicia, the most distressing event was the expulsion itself, and especially the behavior of their Polish neighbors. Far from supporting or helping them, local Poles seemed only too keen to be rid of them, and looted their homes and property enthusiastically, even before they'd left. And my interjection, do we see where power is going? That it's a freight train bearing down on the remaining intact cultures. That they will not stop until they've achieved their objective, the total global dispossession of every scrap of our humanity. They want no possible harbor to exist, none housed in any people. Is there still good fellowship in the bosom of Syrians, Bedouins, Uyghurs, Mexican villagers, the indigenous and earth-connected of Africa and all lands? Can we feel the scope of the potential loss And so the urgency of the present moment, that this train must be stopped, and that it's only stopped by all of us together reclaiming our humanity. Continuing. Fellow villagers who refused to allow looters into their homes were beaten, while others had to stand by and watch while their houses were ransacked before their very eyes. Some even had things stolen from the carts they were loading up to take with them, with the words, "Don't take this, don't take that, you won't need this any longer." Exactly what many Jews were told on their way to Auschwitz. And we will continue with Savage Continent next week. Thank you very much for listening. Until next week, peace.